From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. And on this day, at least for now, the LePage administration says it will stop removing equipment from the just-closed-down East Correctional Facility. It's treatment intended to change an individual's sexual orientation while they are under 18. Lawmakers are considering a ban on so-called conversion therapy. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
The LePage administration has agreed for now to stop removing equipment from the Downey's Correctional Facility in Machiasport. Washington County Commissioners filed an injunction this week to block the administration from dismantling the facility after inmates were abruptly removed last Friday. Attorney General Janet Mills has opted not to defend the state, prompting a stand-down while the LePage administration seeks counsel. Patty White has more.
The agreement was announced in Kennebec Superior Court on Wednesday. Washington County Commissioner Chris Gardner says putting the brakes on any further action around the Downey's Correctional Facility, even temporarily, is critical.
This is that moment, that breathing period that, you know, everybody was acting way too fast.
It started in the pre-dawn hours Friday morning when Department of Corrections personnel woke up inmates, boarded them onto buses, and sent them to facilities in Charleston and Warren. Most of the correctional facility's 55 employees were placed on administrative leave until their jobs are terminated in early March. Then on Monday, according to Jim Mackey, a union rep for corrections officers, the state started removing bunk beds.
The governor had them moving at a fairly quick pace to get everything out of there and really render the facility not useful for anything.
Mackey represents one of two workers' unions that are asking to join as interveners in an injunction request filed by Washington County and Machiasport against the Department of Corrections. They have an ally in Maine Attorney General Janet Mills, who decided not to represent the LePage administration and who also asked to join as an intervener. The agreement made Wednesday to put things on hold is not a formal court order, but gives time for the LePage administration to seek counsel. Though it's seen as a positive step by supporters of the Downey's Correctional Facility, some employees, like Daniel Ramsdell, says he's out of a job no matter what.
I'm done. I cannot go back.
Ramsdell says he's worked as a corrections officer for 26 years and that he has to retire before his job is terminated on March 3rd so he doesn't lose his benefits. It's such a tight time frame, he says, he can't wait to see if the Downey's Correctional Facility will reopen. But at age 55, he says he'll have to find another job.
Washington County is a poor county. There's no jobs out there to replace these ones. It's not like Portland when you can go out and you can get a job that pays the same, you know, a mile down the road. We don't have that.
Commissioner Chris Gardner says the Downey's Correctional Facility is economically important to the region, but that's not the only reason it should reopen.
Make no mistake, we don't want charity. We are fighting for this facility because we know how efficient it is. At any time that it is proven to be inefficient, after being given a fair shake and fair consideration, as county commissioner, I'll personally put the lock on the gate.
The fate of the facility will be considered on two fronts, through the Kennebec Superior Court and through the legislature. Lawmakers are considering a bill that would provide more than $5 million in funding to restore the facility to allow time for a study on the effects of closing it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Governor Paul LePage used a portion of his 90-minute State of the State address Tuesday night to attack one of his favorite targets, land trusts. The governor blames them for taking too much land off the tax rolls in Maine and shifting the burden to property owners. But there's a problem with his premise. As Susan Sharon reports, land trusts account for only a small fraction of tax-exempt property in Maine.
In his remarks, the governor made several assertions about land conservation and tax-exempt status that conservation groups say just aren't true.
The desire to preserve land without benefit to the taxpayer or their input is out of control. We must restore balance.
Actually, says Tim Glidden of the Maine Coast Heritage Trust, there are a whole list of benefits to taxpayers from land that has been protected from development, and many of the projects wouldn't get off the ground without local input and support.
There are more than 2 million acres of working forests, almost 40,000 acres of farmland, 65 water access points for fishermen, all of those working landscapes that support the Maine economy. And then beyond that, there are several thousand miles of trails available for recreation of all kinds.
And then there's the governor's view that land conservation is out of control. He stated that $18 billion has been removed from the tax rolls in Maine and implied that conservation groups are the culprits.
We need to make sure that the large foundations, the Natural Resource Council of Maine, who are ripping off the landowner in the state of Maine, need to step up to the plate. They can put all the land they want in conservation, but they have to contribute to society.
He's got his facts all wrong about, you know, taxation and property taxes and land trusts.
Lisa Pullman, executive director of the Natural Resources Council of Maine, says the fact is land trusts are paying taxes or fees in lieu of taxes for almost all of the land in Maine that is conserved, more than 95% of it, according to a recent survey. Put another way, of the 4 million acres in Maine that have been conserved, only about 30,000 acres in municipalities are tax-exempt. Tim Glidden of Maine Coast Heritage Trust says most of the $18 billion in tax-exempt property comes from a few sources that the governor did not mention.
From the state, the feds, municipal government, colleges, hospitals, civic organizations of all kinds. The amount that is land trust in there is a vanishingly small fraction.
In addition, as a percentage of its total size, Maine has a small amount of publicly owned land, less than any state in New England, and one of the lowest rates in the country. That was also not clear from the governor's address, and why Lisa Pullman of the NRCM says it's important to challenge misinformation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
It's called conversion therapy and legislation being considered by Maine lawmakers. Others call it reparative therapy. Either way, it's controversial. Supporters want to ban the treatments intended to change an individual's sexual orientation while they are under 18 years of age. And as Mal Leary reports, testimony at a public hearing this morning was sometimes emotional.
Biddeford Representative Ryan Fechtel, a Democrat who is openly gay, is the chief sponsor of the bill that would ban the use of such therapies for those under 18. Fechtel told fellow members of the legislature's Labor, Commerce, Research, and Economic Development Committee that professionals licensed by the state should not be allowed to use therapies that are opposed by a wide range of medical professional groups. He shared the example of a college administrator who urged a student to read a book aimed at convincing him there was something wrong with his sexual orientation. Fechtel said the experience caused the young man deep emotional turmoil.
I know this story well, because that young man was me. This is my story. It's a story I've spent a long time denying. There's nothing more painstaking than to admit that you've contemplated suicide.
Several other young gay men testified about similar attempts to convince them they were suffering from some sort of mental illness because of their sexual orientation. Civil rights activist and lawyer Mary Bonato says not only are the therapies harmful, there's no scientific basis for them.
There are many major medical organizations and professional associations that have found no scientific validity for conversion therapy, and that neither sexual orientation nor gender identity can be made to change.
There was also testimony in opposition to the proposal, including some on religious grounds, even though the measure would exempt counseling efforts by clergy. In addition, a nationally known advocate for the use of the therapy, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, a clinical psychologist who operates the Breakthrough Clinics in several California and New York locations. He opposes the bill because he says it is poorly written.
It says I can only address situations that involve unlawful conduct. You'll find that right in the middle of paragraph for number 3. It makes no mention of being able to treat the problem, however. Addressing and treating are two very different things.
Other opponents argued there are specific situations where, for example, a teenager who has been abused could benefit from conversion therapy. Supporters rejected that argument, saying it's based on anecdotes, not science. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
An unhappy customer is suing L.L. Bean over its new return policy, claiming the company broke a vow to customers. The lawsuit in federal court in Chicago contends customers bought items because of L.L. Bean's unlimited satisfaction guarantee. The lawsuit accuses L.L. Bean of breach of warranty. The Maine-based retailer announced on Friday it's imposing a one-year limit for most returns because it says too many people have been abusing the program. Company spokeswoman Carolyn Beam says the lawsuit misrepresents the return policy. She says purchases made before February 9, 2018, that's when the announcement was made, are not subject to the new policy as long as there's a proof of purchase. The plaintiff, Victor Bondi, is seeking class action status for the lawsuit filed on Monday. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages or an order that L.L. Bean honor the old warranty. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. Thanks to Steve Missler and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.